This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. And if you woke up and looked outside, you said, wait a minute, we're in March? Is this March? And there's snow on the ground. I didn't think that was going to happen, but one thing about March snow, it doesn't last very long. It melts quickly, you hope, although the temperatures this weekend may be in the 20s, they should soon warm up. And that's what we're going to do here in the next couple of hours, warming you up for a big day of sports as always. Bob Pompeiani here. We have Logan Arblaster from Waynesburg University making his debut over here, at least on my show. Is this the first time you've been in that position, Logan?
Yes, sir. It's actually the first time I worked with you and Donnie today, so I'm getting a debut on both ends.
Well, it's good to have you. And you're still in school, I take it?
Yes, sir. I'm a junior.
Good. You don't have to keep calling me sir. I feel old enough as it is. Bob is fine.
Okay.
Whatever you want. All right, Logan will be handling all the calls. 412-928-9370. Again, it's 412-928-9370. Also on Twitter, it's at KD Pomp. Want to remind you, too, that the fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You could visit them at southhillskia.net. And fan text line, always brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. You know them. They got your back, not your wallet, especially now when you're getting ready to pay taxes. You want somebody who's going to win money, win cases for you. Those are the guys to do it. And if you're looking around on a snowy day and want to hit some golf balls like I do, and later I will, you got to go down to Nine Yards Golf Lounge down there in Washington County, soon to open another one out in Ross Township. They got some great bays down there, some top-of-the-line technology that makes your game certainly something you can improve upon. So give them an opportunity down in Washington County. 412-928-9370 is the number, as I said. So this is an interesting time of the year. It's not my favorite time. I heard Don on the way in talking about how he loves free agency. Free agency, to me, though, only lasts a couple days. You know, the real big names with a legal tampering period on March 10th, and it opens up on NFL free agency on March 12th, 2 days later. I always get a kick out of that legal tampering because I think tampering goes on all the time. But bottom line is you get a couple of days and then it kind of just, you know, goes away for a while. You don't hear the big names are going to be gone in the first couple of hours, first couple of days to be sure. But then after that, it lingers and then you may get some late additions. And the Steelers have done that for sure over the years. And you could get some good value if you wait in time. We'll see how that goes. The NCAA tournament, we should talk about that because that's also on the doorstep. And the NCAA tournament probably won't include Pitt this year. They have fallen apart. You know, ever since the calendar changed to 2025, 4-10 in that span. And they got a tough one today against number 19, Louisville, which has won 16 of 17. They're ranked now in the country, number 19. They got a lot of stuff going on there. And their head coach, Pat Kelsey, came in and did a wonderful job. And this goes to show you, they were 8-24 last year. Fired coach, need a new coach, bring him in from, I think he was at Charleston. And he had everyone left. When that normally happens, a coach leaves, the players transfer. Well, he brought in an entirely new team, and they go from 8-24 last year to where they are this year, 22-6, 15-2 in the ACC, and have a legitimate chance of winning that conference. So that's Pitt's assignment today. It won't be easy. That's coming up today. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip from the Yum Center in Louisville, and then they got a couple of games they should win. They're going to have to win out, quite frankly, in my view, in order to get to the NCAA tournament. Robert Morris, want to give a shout-out to Andy Toole and what they've been able to do because they certainly have put together a great season. Not many people thought it could happen this year, but, man, Coach Toole has done a very good job. They win their conference. They're going to host a game on March the 6th at the UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse. So you can check that out coming up a little bit later in the week. But we're getting into that time where March Madness will begin, and it's always interesting to see all the teams that make it and the matchups, and especially first couple of rounds for sure. The Pirates will be on the air here at 1 o'clock today, and the big thing today is that Paul Skeens will be on the mound against the Baltimore Orioles. Now, they got, because they haven't done much in the offseason in terms of bringing in bigger names, they have holes to fill. Spencer Horwitz was their one big trade item, and he was supposed to play first base, and he had surgery, and he's rehabbing. He may not be ready to go, and if he isn't, who plays? Well, this kid, Matt Gorski, has certainly made a name for himself. You know, and yes, spring success should be taken as that, spring success. Except, he's 27, they need a first baseman. He's hitting a cover off the ball so far. It's only four games, but he has three home runs and 10 runs batted in for a ridiculous 2-point-something OPS, something you don't see those numbers. So he's 27. Why not give him a chance if they are still looking for options there? Jack Sawinski seems to have found a groove a little bit this spring. Hopefully that'll continue, but they got a lot of holes to fill in their roster when it comes to offense. They don't have a lot of power there, and they're going to need it. And then Henry Davis seems to be off to a good start. I know it's early, but I really hope that he continues this and takes it and translates it into the major league level. So that's all coming up today at 1 o'clock from Ed Smith Stadium in Sarasota, Pirates and Orioles. Penguins are also going to be in action today. They take on the Boston Bruins at 3. Penguins are coming off a rousing win after they got off to an awful start against the Philadelphia Flyers. They had lost to them 6-1 in Philly 2 days earlier. And you're thinking to yourself, now they got to come out. This is Max Talbot bobblehead night. Of all the times that you should come out and play well, it's on that. Because it was the shush bobblehead where he did in Philadelphia and turned that series around. So what happened? They came out stale, slow, didn't have a shot on goal for the first, I don't know how many minutes it was, and they fall behind 3-0. But they dug deep in this one, and it took a goalie being yanked, potentially, that kind of turned their game around. Alex Nedeljkovic got taken out of the game after giving up 3 goals. He was not happy about it for whatever reason. Slammed the door, went down the hall, yelled at a few people. Who knows if it was the coaching staff. Whatever it was, it seemed to work. And Mike Sullivan said that wasn't a negative, that was a positive. That got things going, and he should feel that way. Blomqvist came in and played probably his best stretch of hockey we've seen in one game. Stopped, I think, 21 of 22. They end up winning that game in overtime. So whether or not these results matter remains to be seen. Likely not. They're so far down, they're not going to make the playoffs. They need to determine what they're going to do in goal. Joel Blomqvist has been the guy they've brought up here to play. He's been rather inconsistent. Numbers are not good. But in that game after Nedeljkovic left the game, he was really good. And he had to be really good because they were down and they had to come back and take some chances. And he made some saves. They also have a couple of guys in their system, if you want to look that far down. Philip Larson, who's in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, he got a shout-out actually last night. He's well-regarded. So is Sergei Mirishev, who's in Wheeling. I don't know if any of these guys are the answer or not. It went from a spot where the Penguins had some of the best goaltending that you could find with Fleury, Murray, Gustafson. They had drafted, they had all these guys, and all of a sudden Fleury leaves because of the expansion draft. Murray all of a sudden just disappears, and then Gustafson is traded to Minnesota. So he's now their starting goaltender. Played in the Four Nations. He's a really good guy, but they traded him for Derek Brassard. So. Here's the other thing I want to say about all sports. When you do what the Penguins did specifically, and when Jim Rutherford got very aggressive about what he was doing trying to win championships, and they did back-to-back, and the next year after that had a chance, you're going to give up assets and draft picks in order to get players so that you can win now. At the time, everyone loves that. You still should love that. But there's also a future mortgage payment to be made. When you strip your system of a lot of picks, you're not going to have the system that you once had. You're not going to have a feeder system that makes it easy to go down and bring up two guys and have them move right in and play. The Penguins are in that situation right now. They're trying to restock that. They're trying to do that while still trying to be competitive. That's a hard road to walk. But that's what they're doing. They have a March 7th. That's this coming Friday trade deadline. I'd like to hear what you say at 412-928-9370 about what the Penguins should do. If you're Kyle Dubas, clearly they're rebuilding, aren't they? I mean, it seems like they are doing that, but how much of a rebuild is this? If it's a total rebuild, Rickard Rakell should be traded. If it isn't, and you still think you can win with, you know, what you're doing and play both ways, then he won't be. But he is the most marketable guy they have to bring in some assets. And I say that knowing that he's had a wonderful season, and he plays on Sidney Crosby's line, and I know how much Crosby likes consistency with those line mates. But if you're really going to do this, you're going to have to trade, and it's painful at times, pieces that you really like. They take on the Bruins today, and we'll find out. It's a back-to-back weekend games. They got Toronto here tomorrow, too. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to do something they haven't done in a while, and that's win playoff games, get there and win them. They're going to be in there. Whether or not they advance in series, we'll find out. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's go to the Lions here, Logan. We got Marty in Frick Park first up today. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, you know, I'm thinking the Pirates, two scenarios at the trading deadline. Wanted to get your thoughts, what you think they do. I have one scenario, they're 40 and 50. The other scenario, they're 50 and 40. So that's kind of, I mean, isn't that kind of what you would think they'd be?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be involved in a lot of games. And I really think their pitching will keep them in games. Their hitting will allow them to lose a lot of games.
So I'm thinking at 40 and 50, Bob, and this is like, you know, the negative Nelly, as they say. I'm thinking they dump Keller, they dump Reynolds, they dump anybody that makes money.
You know, here we go now. If you're going to do that, the pitching staff, which I think is going to be very good, as I said, and Chandler may not even be in it to start, but he will be eventually. What are you going to get in return? Picks? What are you going to get? You have to tell me.
Keller's newly signed. Reynolds is still under control. If Reynolds is your fifth best player on a contending team, you have a heck of a team. People might look at Keller as a third or fourth starter, which he actually may just be that. So I think they'd have value, and I think they'd sell us on, hey, you know, we're going to be really good 2 years from now, like they do every 2 years or every year, right?
Well, let me paint the other scenario for you, Marty. Let's say they're 50 and 40, and they're right in the middle of this, right? So last week I went a little off tangent here, I guess, and I brought up Vlad Guerrero's name because he hasn't signed and he has 1 year left and he's only 25 and he wants a ton of money. Would you be opposed to trading assets, and I'm talking about their top pitching aspects, to get a guy like that to bring a bat in as a rental player, or would you resist that?
Well, I think you know, people like Tamar Johnson, even Kyle Griffin, who they're gushing about, but let's face it, he's 18 years old. He may end up being, you know, Hall of Famer, but we may never, you know, see him. So, I mean, people like Kyle Griffin, Tamar Johnson, they may be thrown, maybe, I'm not sure if they'd go Bubba Chandler. That's a bit much, but maybe their second or third best prospect. I think that might make sense.
Yeah, it would just depend. They're not one to, you know, first of all, that would be a pure rental because they're not going to pay it. I wish they would because I think it's still possible. But you're always looking for first baseman. They've gone through nine of them over the past 7 years and haven't had much success with any of these people. So why not just go put all your money in a big name, big bat, and move on from there? But they won't. So,
well, Bob, like you say all the time, Bob, I mean, they could pay someone.
They could
pay a big,
that's what frustrates me.
$40 million.
There's no reason to think they couldn't, other than you're being pretty much brainwashed into think that they're never going to do it. They can tell you the reasons they're never going to do it.
Good.
No, go ahead.
Has anybody done a deep dive on this television contract? Because Jason brings that up sometimes, that this is really pretty difficult, not just for the Pirates, but the Seattles and seven or eight other teams, the Arizonas. Of course, Arizona had that problem, but Arizona's not signing people. So I guess they have a different mindset about trying to be competitive.
Well, first of all, the TV revenues are very much disproportionate, and they certainly do hurt. The local broadcast rights fees are very different in different cities compared to what they are here, so that impacts them. However, if you wanted to do it, again, I would be looking at the ways to make my team competitive so that I get more people in there, so that people want to broadcast more of those games on a national level. That helps all the people who are putting money into your naming rights. So I have a different vision about what they should be able to do and what they are going to do. But to answer your question, if they trade Reynolds and Keller, again, I don't see that happening. But if it did, I would want players. I don't want guys who are like rated 15th and 19th in Major League Baseball pipeline. I don't want that. I want guys who are going to come here and play, younger players who've had a taste of it, who I can make an assessment on.
Exactly.
All right, Marty.
I'll let you run.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Now it's out to Youngstown. Greg's on the line. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Bob. First thing, I'm not trading Reynolds. I will trade Keller for a first baseman, though, because we have enough pitching. I'm not trading Reynolds. We have no bats. Is he insane, that guy? I mean, we don't have enough bats as it is, you know?
What kind of first baseman do you think you'd get for Keller? I mean,
you trade Keller and somebody from the minor leagues. Somebody
who's blocked in a system, who can't get up, but you know he's going to be a good player.
Yeah,
that kind
of
player.
We've gotten screwed on trades all the time. Can't we screw another team and get some of their players?
Sure, they could. But you got to make sure that that player is going to be worth coming here, playing, and starting immediately. That's the way I would look at it. If you're going to acquire him, they expect that from Horwitz, talking to a lot of the guys over. They think he can be that guy. So I don't know. You know, we'll see how that goes. All right, Greg, thank you. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. I think the Pirates are going to be in a lot of games. I honestly do. I think their win total of 76.5 or whatever it is, I'd put it real close to that. I may go over a little bit because I think their pitching is going to be that good. If they get any sort of hitting, any. But it's hard to try to fathom where it's going to come from. They're batting Tommy Pham, sometimes leadoff. I'm not a big fan of that signing. I thought they could have spent money differently. As far as center field, I think Cruz and Reynolds are going to be the two guys in the outfield who hit the, hit for power and give them some consistency there. Other than that, I don't know where you're going to find it. I hope Henry Davis is a guy who cracks this roster and plays. I want to see him behind the plate, and I want to see him play a lot. I know Joey Bart is the guy they have right now, but he's not going to play in all 100 games. If you can figure out a scenario where this guy, Davis, can play, if he's not catching, he's DHing, if he's not doing that, throw him someplace else, enough so he gets into 100 games. And if his bat is going to have to determine whether or not he even gets a chance. If he has a good spring and they believe it and they bring him in, up here, give him his at-bats and see where it goes. And don't just be so quick to get rid of him after a week if it doesn't work well. Sometimes it takes some time. But I think that way when I'm talking about a number one overall pick, we need that if I'm them. If I'm them, I'm saying to myself, we need him to get up here and play, and he has to be a big part of our offense. So I'm not closing the door on that as a possibility. We'll see how it goes at 412-928-9370. All right, more calls on the way, and we're talking about the Penguins, where they are, what you do on the March 7th trade deadline. We're talking about the Steelers as well. They're sort of still looking at a situation where they're not sure about what's going to happen with their quarterback. Three of them, all of them unsigned as of this moment. We know that Matt Stafford is not going to be coming here, nor did I ever think that was a possibility, but he's going to re-sign in L.A. with the Rams, and that makes sense. So what do they do at quarterback? And also, this draft is coming up in Green Bay in April, just a month away. I'm excited for the draft in Pittsburgh. You're a fan, Logan, right? Can you imagine how many people are going to come to Pittsburgh to watch that NFL draft? And it could very well be that the Steelers pick their eventual quarterback of the future in that draft next year.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. And it kind of makes me think of other events that were that big. And I remember Taylor Swift came here the one summer or whatever, and you could barely find parking anywhere. I'm sure it'll be something like that. But I definitely want to go down if I can. And
it'll be times five. It's 4 days of it. They're going to have all kinds of activities in and around Point State Park and on the North Shore. So it'll be a great time, raising a lot of money for the city of Pittsburgh on top of that. But I'm anxious to see how that goes. And wouldn't that be cool if they drafted a quarterback in the first round next year? And it's somebody that they believe can be their future quarterback. In the meantime, who is their quarterback? 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Give us a shout here until 1 o'clock, and we precede Pirate Baseball, which starts at 1 right here on 93.7 The Fan. Back in a flash. On a March 1st day that looks more like January 1st, a lot of flurries around. At least it's not sticking. It's nice atmospheric snow, I guess you can call it. Bob Pompeiani here with a Logan R. Blaster behind the glass at 412-928-9370. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. 412-928-9370. 329 players were invited to the NFL Combine. You can watch this all the time if you want. It's interesting, gathering up all the tangibles that you can. We're seeing the 40-yard dash now. And by the way, Gavin Bartholomew of Pitt was the fourth best runner in the 40 of all the tight ends, although he's still ranked as a 15th overall tight end prospect. So my question when we talk about the combine, how much of your emphasis do you put on this workout stuff versus what you see from a production point of view throughout the course of a year? A lot of coaches love to do the interview process face-to-face, man-to-man, eye-to-eye, and try to get inside a player and ask questions and try to figure out and gauge their passion for the game. All of it is important. All of it plays a role in where they end up drafting and what they end up drafting. 412-928-9370. Got people on the line. Call. We have some open lines as well. Again, 412-928-9370. Simon in Pittsburgh. And Simon says,
hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's up?
So my question was just, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about Schefter saying, if he had to guess, he thinks Steelers would re-sign Wilson instead of Fields. Or maybe not instead of Fields, but if Fields chooses to go elsewhere.
Well, see, I thought they'd have this thing wrapped up by now, Simon. You know, just because you have all this time leading up to the tampering period and the free agency. If you let it go to free agency, Justin Fields probably owes it to himself to check out all options. So I would think that if they want Fields, and I still believe he's going to be the guy who gets the job, that they would sign him before then. Now, I know a lot of people think that Russell Wilson's still going to end up here. But again, I just look at age as a big problem here in this, and his career's terrific. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But 37, what can you expect from a 37-year-old? You saw him in action last year. Art Rooney even said so when I talked to him, that age was a concern. If it is, then he's not going to be the choice. But, you know, they got to figure out something here before you go. If you go to free agency, then you're rolling the dice that somebody may not or may do something that you didn't expect, and all of a sudden Justin Fields has an option he didn't expect to get. Who would you like to see?
Definitely Fields. And just hearing that the Steelers would even consider giving Russ anything more than $20 million, it's just terrible, because he did play the worst football of his career down the stretch in those last six games. And is Fields the long-term answer at quarterback? I doubt it. But I'd rather take that chance than bring back a 37-year-old who gives you essentially nothing except for mediocrity.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would rather see a 25-year-old, see if I can gauge something out of him, if I can elevate his game. Number two, you'll probably end up bringing back Kyle Allen as a backup. He was fine in that role. Who knows? But I also think they may, and I hope they don't do this, and I get your take on this, Simon, they may draft someone in the middle rounds, you know, one of those, quote, developmental kind of guys. You can consider Will Howard to be one of those. I know that Fields Yate somehow in his last mock had Jackson Dart going to the Steelers at 21, first overall for them. I would not do that. He's a decent prospect potentially, but he's not a first-round pick to me. Quinn Ewers, all of them. Jalen Milrow, who else can you mention? Kyle McCord, all those guys, they're going to find themselves in the middle of it. Would you use a pick on one of those guys as a developmental quarterback, or would you just go out and get, you know, take care of other positions that need to be dealt with?
Well, I would definitely re-sign Fields, and if they took a QB like Dart in the first round, I think that would definitely be a reach. I wouldn't like that at all. But if they did take Howard or Milrow, maybe third or the fourth, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because, you know, maybe you do want to go and try to get someone who could end up being like a Dak or a Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins that you get in the middle rounds. But yet, you know, again, it's not a good quarterback class, and, you know, if you want to spend those picks on running back or receiver or bigger needs that I think this draft class is better at, I think that would probably be the better move.
Right, you can have a Dak Prescott scenario. You can also have, you know, a Mason Rudolph scenario. You can have a Dennis Dixon scenario. A lot of those guys in the middle of the draft don't end up doing much other than becoming backups. So if you feel like, you know, you're going to sign Fields and maybe next year you would delve into the drafting of a quarterback, then I would use other picks for other things and try to load up on my weaknesses. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. But at 21, I agree with you. Jackson Dart should not be their choice at 21. At least that's what I think. All right, man.
Yeah,
thanks, Simon. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. The Munn Hall Flash joins us on line number two. What's up, Flash?
Hey, Pomp, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Tell the family I said hi.
Will do.
Linda. Yeah, and I want Fields. That's all I want. I don't want Wilson. He's too old. He's too short. Fields is the guy. I mean, look, he started 4-2, and then they pulled that crap. Who knows what he would have been after 4-2 if they'd have kept him in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking back in hindsight, Flash, you'd rather have him have a whole year under his belt. They made a change at the time. It was a good move, you thought, because Wilson won right off the bat and looked pretty good, and then all of a sudden things changed at the end.
No, he's a man. 4-2, give him a shot a whole year. I would trade Watt to get something good. Let him go to a Super Bowl contender. He deserves it.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. They've already pretty much stated they're going to try to sign him longer term. And you wonder that, you know, the number on that will probably be a 4-year, $128 million deal. Now, all due respect, T.J. Watt's Hall of Famer. He's already earned that status, I think. But how much football does he realistically have left? And I know if you talk to him and you watch him work, he'll think a lot. But it's just a natural concern if you're a football general manager, scout, analyst, that at some point there's a drop-off at these positions. It's not easy to maintain the way they work and what they do. So
you're right.
You're banking on that.
You gotta get a number one for Pickens. Get him out of here. He's nothing but disease.
Well, all right, Flash, thanks for the call. Listen, he has a lot of talent. That's the intriguing thing. The question is, has he matured enough to earn that sort of thing? And I think that's what they're looking for. And the way to test him is to make him come back this year without a contract so that he knows he has 1 year left and then see what he does with that 1 year. It's in his best interest to have his best season. And then if that happens, you can re-engage him or franchise tag him if you believe. But I would rather see, before I invest, you know, $25 to $30 million a year on a wide receiver who I still have questions on, I don't know if I want to take that gamble right now. You know, they've brought in guys and they've given contracts. Who am I thinking of? Johnson. He got, what did he get? I'm trying to think of the numbers off the top of my head. It was like 3 years, $36 million. And then it ends up, you know, he's not here. Juju Smith-Schuster, same kind of situation. Long term, he's not here. So many others fall in that category. So I would think that before they give him the kind of money that he wants, he's going to have to show that not only will he have a big year and score a lot of touchdowns and be big in the red zone, but he's also going to have to elevate his maturity level. And that's just the way it is. And so I would take that chance. Would you, Logan, would you want to see him for one more year and see how he reacts to 1 year, or would you trade him now? I don't know if you're going to get what you think you're going to get for him now.
Yeah, I think for me, watching the Steelers last year, one of the biggest issues was is they didn't have a second receiver. So if you're going to get rid of your number one guy this year, it basically means you're going to have nothing left at the moment until the draft. Maybe they could address something there. But I think they should – I would at least re-sign him next – if things go well in this season, he has a big year. If I was the general manager of the team, I would re-sign him. And I think also paired with the fact that they're a team that runs the football so much, and they were one of the worst teams efficiency-wise in doing so. So you have to get better in the run game, and you also have to get a second receiver next to Pickens. But I really don't think, personally, I might be in the minority of the group, but I think that he isn't as much of an issue as people think.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think he has become one, and I think the problem is he needs to just play. And, you know, do what he has to do. If you're going to believe that, fine, you'll sign him. He's going to want what he wants. I want to wait and see on that one. I still think players get to a point where when they have 1 year left and they know that they have to, you know, look at Najee Harris. He played very well, I thought, considering his situation. He didn't get the option. If they really wanted to resign him, they should have done it, picked up the option, and they could have done it. They wanted to see what he would do, I think. And what they see is a guy who is going to work and beyond all the distractions that come with being not tendered that fifth round option. So in George Pickens' case, I want to see how he handles things. And if he handles them well, if he has a productive year especially, because I know the talent is there. He's a unique talent. They want that talent. That's why they drafted that. They knew there were red flags there, but they got to make sure that those red flags disappear. And if so, then you can sign him. And if it may cost you more money. You know, that's the gamble you take if you wait. It may cost you more. Let's go out to Harvey on line one. We don't get many Harveys on the show. You're, I think, the first Harvey I've had in a long time. What's up, man?
Hey, Bob. Glad to be the first Harvey. Hopefully I'm a good call.
I'm sure you will be.
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call. Bob, my concerns, you know, all we're talking about the draft and the history, I know everybody got excited with Omar Khan when he came in and was different than the previous GM, started to spend a little bit of money, started to bring some different players in. But I'm not seeing much from the coaching staff, you know, coaching people up. You read recently about the hire. It's like almost like nepotism with Tomlin anymore, whoever coached his kids at BC or Maryland or on staff. I just don't, you know, these quarterbacks that we have, you know, I think they would be half decent if our line could, you know, hold a block a little bit. Justin Fields, I think, could be a steal. He's never had the opportunity to truly have more than 2.5 seconds to throw the ball. And we're worrying about Pickens and all these different things. It's just a little confusing to me when you just don't have the pieces in place to really talk. I think they should really blow up the team and rebuild with a new coach.
Well, that's a big leap based on where they are, Harvey. Thank you for the call. I don't think they're going to do any of that. What I think they're going to do, to your point about offensive line, yes, they've you know, if you're going to discredit Pat Meyer for what happened on the offensive line with regard to maybe Broderick Jones playing right tackle versus left, then you have to credit him for what you saw at center, because I thought Zach Frazier was very good. You'd have to credit him what you saw at right guard, because after they had an injury there, and it was a tough one for James Daniels, they got production out of a fourth-round pick. Now, the hope is that Jones moving to left will help him. We're going to see Fautanu over at the right side, and they still need pieces. They do, but they also need pieces on their defensive line. If you're going to win consistently and offer protection from the offensive point of view and offer consternation from the defensive point of view, where you can get after guys strictly by not blitzing and going after with your four guys, you're going to need more people there. And I think their focus right now is on defensive line, probably cornerback at some point, although there are going to be some free agents and some potential trade situations develop with cornerback. They may be able to take a sort of a Dante Jackson approach. I saw that Jair Alexander is a guy who could be available, and they could do things that way, and you may find it before it even gets to the draft in April. 412-928-9370. We have Joe in Florida. We have Kevin in Chicago. We'll get to you guys right after this short timeout. You're listening to the Bob Pompiani Show on a Saturday, a snowy Saturday, right here in Pittsburgh. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let us know what you have on your mind when it comes to sports here on the first day of March. Can't believe it's already March. I mean, we're moving right along here, and man, it goes fast. You know, Joel Nelson, you're behind the... Where did Logan go? I wanted to say goodbye to him.
He's had to use the press room quickly.
Oh, okay. So you're here a little ahead of time. I see how that goes. That's what happens with those college kids out late at night, and then next thing you spend all day at the... 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We've been getting into the Steelers, the combine. How much emphasis do you put on a combine? Joel, are you a combine guy? Do you believe that just because you run 4.28 40, for example, you're going to be a star in the NFL, or do you put more emphasis on what players do throughout the course of their college careers?
College careers and the film and everything. I think with the combine, you can improve your draft stock just a little bit, or you can also lose some of your draft stock a little bit, but I'm sure scouts have taken 90 to 95% from the actual player's film in their collegiate careers.
No question. That's why a lot of guys have decided not to show up at the, or at least not to work out at the combine. They'll do it in their own personal days. They don't have much to gain. They have a lot to lose, potentially. Others there, the 329 players who were invited, they do have something to show. Maybe they come from smaller schools. Maybe nobody knows a lot about them, and they want to, or maybe they don't like their draft situation. Maybe they're looked at as, a fifth-round pick, and they want to improve that. So they go to the combine and try to make things happen there. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go to Joe in Florida, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Hey, listen, we're avid listeners here in Florida, even though, I'm originally from Pittsburgh. And there's like this conventional wisdom on the station with all the hosts that, like, George Pickens is just so talented. And that statement within itself is true, right? But we're going on year three or four. Numerous quarterbacks, numerous offensive coordinators. Listen, you're never going to go anywhere with a guy like that on your team, and I don't care what they do. And then you combine that with profoundly other problems that they have, like the head coach and so forth. It's not going anywhere. And so my question to you guys that just say, oh, he's just so talented. Listen, there were 25, 30 guys running around the country that can play like him. I know that. To you guys, that sounds like that's crazy. It's true. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time to get recruited and developed and so forth.
Well,
he's
first
a
of
problem.
All,
so
I don't
I'm
know.
Sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
I mean, he's not been a problem to the point. He does bring problems to the table, Joe. I will grant you that. And that's why I raised the red flag situation. When they drafted him, they knew that there were some red flags. But sometimes you got to do that, and you try to bring the best out of a guy and watch the maturity. Now, I haven't seen it nearly, and I don't think they have either, to the point where they want to extend him. So, I mean, for now, what they can do is just play him and see where it takes him. But he has to be motivated. It's up to him, what he does. I still think the talent is significant, and I don't want to just turn my back on the talent, because you need talented players to do it. Now, you also need a scheme that allows the talent to work down the field much more in terms of targets, and especially where those targets occur.
So so at like at what point? So a receiver does so much more than run routes and catch balls, right? We all know that. So at what point do the other things that he doesn't do, you say it's not worth it, right? So like, for instance, if you give me a choice, and this is going to sound like it's so elementary, but if you give me a choice between Hines Ward and you give me a choice between George Pickens, I don't even have to take a breath.
Yeah, different kind of players. I look at more of him, and thanks, Joe, for the call. I look at him more like Martavis Bryant. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. And Martavis had his issues. Now, he was trying, you know, once he overcame them, it was kind of too late in the proceedings for him to get and catch on. He's tried to do that. But that's, you know, if I'm George Pickens, I look at examples like that, and I say, well, look at what this guy did. You know, he had an opportunity here. He got himself in some situations that they eventually moved on from him, and it's hard to get another opportunity. This is serious stuff. If you're him, you got to make sure you just play and get rid of all the other stuff that goes on. The eye black with swear words, that's a terrible look. I wouldn't have tolerated that. You know, not running out plays. If you're asked to block and you're not really engaging in it, that's all problematic stuff. You have to play every down as if it's your last, I think. And if you're not involved in a play and you know that going in, make people realize that you are. You can fake them in to take people with you away from where the intended target is. You know, and I want to see more of that from him. I think the talent is really significant, though, and I'm not going to look past it. I want to see what he can do. I'm willing to bring him back for this year, and that's it. And then he determines what happens next. Kevin in Chicago is up next here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. I'm actually on the way back to Hawaii.
Kevin. We have some Hawaii music, but I didn't know you threw us off for a loop here.
I'll
sing to you.
Usually I don't tell you guys where I'm calling from, but I've called you guys everywhere from Bahrain to England to Guam and Japan and Korea the last 3 years with all the work travel with the military. What was I going to say? Hey, so let me ask you a question, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but just the last conversation. Do you have any confidence at all in any way based off of the last 10 to 12 years and the problem children you've had that both started inside the organization and came into the organization and left right away and went someplace else and had success, that there's any chance that Tomlin is going to keep George in line or get him to mature and get the best out of him? Any chance at all?
I think there's a chance. I don't think it's a big chance. I think if I had to put a, you know, hopefully it's going to be more than 50-50, but right now I put it at that. And again, this falls mostly on what he's able to provide. If you go out there and play and put aside all the other crap that goes on and just play, it's up to him. He has a lot of money. He has his own future at stake here, I think. If that's not enough to motivate you, then you're not worth having around anyway.
No, I agree. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Martavius, except he's a little more, I guess, to me, destructive than Martavius was all the time.
Well, Martavius was destructive to himself. You know, he was doing things he shouldn't have done that got him into – it wasn't like he was somebody who was deliberately going out and not running up plays and refusing to do this or that. He just – he had issues and he had to figure them out. And unfortunately for him, we waited too long to do it.
Well, no, I agree. That's what I was saying. He wasn't destructive to the team. He was just destructive to himself.
So how would you proceed? How would you proceed with George Pickens then?
Well, first of all, his butt would have been on the bench 3 or 4 times last year and making it very clear to him that you're a part of the team. It doesn't matter if you're the best wide receiver in the league. You're a part of the team. Get over it and start acting like a professional, and that was never done. And so he knew he could run rampant, and essentially that's what he did. I think he's too far to go. I think he's too far gone to pull back in. But we'll see. I mean, hopefully you're right. You and I have had this kind of conversation 3 or 4 times over the last few years. And every time I have this conversation about, you know, average Mike T or the fact that Art's not going to do anything as far as trying to win because he's just banking the money right now as a lawyer, I always say, I hope I'm 110% wrong. And unfortunately, that's not the way it's turned out.
Well, we'll see. I still think this, Kevin, and thanks for the call. I hopefully you get back. Are you going right back to Hawaii now? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm on a connecting flight out of D.C. back to Hawaii.
Well, safe travels to you. But I will tell you is that I still think, you know, this whole – the way the season ended more than anything was the reason why people reacted the way they did. I think if you had told people at the beginning of the year, last year, that they would somehow finish ahead of Cincinnati in the standings – second in the division, split with the Ravens, all this stuff, 10 wins, given what they were dealing with at the time. I think people might have said that's okay, short of a playoff blowout, or, you know, again, that's unacceptable. But I still think they have pieces and places here. They got to make some right choices here this year. And if they do, I think they could be in a position to – but they have to change some things. Clearly, they have to change some things. Offensively, they got to be more liberal-minded in terms of expanding playbooks and doing things down the field. I don't know if they're going to do that. I hope they do it, because I think they have some talent that you know, that could be exploited there. We'll see. 412-928-9370. Jeff, hang on. George, hang on. We'll get into you after we take a headline here. Is this your last headline of the day, Logan?
I actually don't have a headline until a few more spots, but yeah.
Okay. Well, it'll
about
be
4 minutes.
And then
yep.
I'll bid you adieu, because I know Joel Nelson is in the building.
Yes,
you can
sir.
Learn a lot from him. He's really good at what he does, too. But nice working with you today, Logan. I appreciate that, and all the best at Waynesburg University.
Thank you, Bob. Same to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with Jeff, George, and more calls until 1 o'clock, and then it's Pirate Baseball. They'll take on the Orioles. Paul Skeens will be on the mound for the Pirates. And then later today, it's Pitt trying to somehow win a game against a really good Louisville team, which has won 16 of 17. That's a 6 p.m. tip-off, 5:30 pregame, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back to hour number two of the show here, brought to you by PNC Bank. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington, PA. Joel Nelson is in the house behind the glass. He's taking over for Logan, who made his debut today. And thanks to Logan for what he did, and good luck at Waynesburg. In the meantime, we invite you to call us at 412-928-9370. That is the number of the call-in line. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And the text line, as always, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So we've been talking a lot about the combine, how much stock you put in it. I'm a big believer in production. I want to see stuff in a college career that makes me think the guy can handle the next level. This is useful, certainly. But for me, as much as all the 40-yard dashes and the high jumps and everything else they're looking for, all those kind of metrics, I want to meet with people and find out what's in their head. And I think that's probably one of the most important parts of this entire process, is to find out whether or not you're dealing with someone you want to deal with. And I think you can get that information in a going out to a dinner or 15-minute session, one-on-one with them, whatever the case may be. But the draft is coming up here in April. It'll be in Green Bay this year at Lambeau Field. And then next year, man, that's going to be fast, Joel. Time goes fast. We're in March already, so just over a year from now, we have the NFL draft coming to Pittsburgh for the very first time, and that should be a tremendous spectacle. I know already hotel rooms are gauging for a big influx of people from all over, and the thing about Pittsburgh, it's so centrally located that all these teams that have NFL teams can drive here. Fans can do it. It's going to be 4 days, a lot of entertainment, a lot of planning going on here, so we'll try to keep you updated on that. But I'm anxious to see that, and it could very well be that the Steelers get their next franchise quarterback in that draft in 2026. We also have the U.S. Open coming up here later this year. And as we move further into the golf season, we'll be talking to people who have a significant role to play in the U.S. Open at Oakmont in 2025. By the way, just one golf note. I don't know if you saw that Jake Knapp this past Thursday shot a 59. He was putting for 58 on the last. Now, he did that down at what used to be the Honda Classic. Now it's the Cognizant Classic. But the point is, you know, they're in a situation down there where that's one of the toughest golf courses. There's water and sand everywhere. I don't care where you shoot 59. To shoot 59 is a ridiculous thing to do. And that's what he did, and he has the lead after two rounds of that tournament. All right, let's get to the lines. A lot of things on the table here. We're talking about the Penguins as well. What would you do on March 7th? That's next Friday. It's the trade deadline. Steelers stuff as well. And Pitt. Can they get in? I doubt it, but they got to win today, and that's a tough thing to do against Louisville. 412-928-9370. We got Jeff in Jeanette, and now he's on the Fan. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I don't have an opinion on the March 7th deadline, but I wanted to check your opinion. Years ago, whenever Jim Rutherford, mid-season, I think it was mid-season, he stepped down. Just your opinion, what do you think the reason, there might have been more than one reason, but why he left so abruptly after being so successful here for the years that he was here?
I'm sorry, I had an interruption. What did you say at the beginning? Who are we talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking about Jim Rutherford, Penguins, obviously.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and just your opinion. I know he abruptly left about, what, 4 years ago, whatever that was.
Right. I would have liked for him to stay. I thought he was going to. Yeah. He was very comfortable here in Pittsburgh. You know, I don't know. I've heard different theories. One of my theories that I've heard, and I could put some credence into this, is that maybe he was one of the guys who wanted to move on from, you know, Christopher Letang and Evgeny Malkin, and maybe there was a block in place for that not to happen. I don't know if that's the case. Whatever it was abrupt. There's no question. And I had a feeling he'd get back into it sooner rather than later, and he did in Vancouver, and he's done a pretty good job there so far, making them a pretty good team. So, yeah, it's funny how that happened, and then the subsequent Ron Hextall regime and now the Kyle Dubas regime. And or maybe Jim just said, you know, maybe it's time to move on. I've done enough. We've won twice here. I did everything I could, and I don't know. I really don't know. I've tried to talk to him about it, and I've talked to him about a lot of things, but he doesn't like to get into that topic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This one.
What would you do, by the way? What would you do on March 7th? Would you make Raquel available for people? And what? I mean, to me, if you're going to rebuild, you have to do this. There's not many other things they can trade in their organization at this point.
Yeah. There's really not a lot of people left. You know, who I don't know what, if he has a no trade clause or limited trade clause. I don't know. You would probably know that, but he might be the only asset. You know, him and Brian Rust. Does Rust have a trade clause?
He has some, yes. I don't know if it's a partial, I believe. But, you know, the point is, you can make a case that those guys should be retained and build around them if you had stuff to build around them. I don't know that they have enough to build around them. And their goaltending, more than anything else right now, has to be addressed in this offseason. I got to figure out what they got to do with it. And if you believe that Joel Blomquist is a guy, or if you believe that Philip Larson or Sergei Mirashov, any of those guys, I got to see it more before I believe it. I think there'll be some hard times there before you smooth things out and figure out a plan, you know, with goaltenders.
And it would be tough because you Rust and Raquel, they may be the only two players who you might be able to get pretty good return on.
Point, yeah. And you're not going to trade any of the other guys. Carlson, I'd like to somehow move if I could. And I think, you know, he has 8 or 9 goals now. He had a couple the other night. On a team that needs some offensive punch from the blue line, he could be the guy who delivers that. And if you can get the team to take him, you can even chip in half of his salary. It's going to cost you money one way or the other.
Isn't it hard to believe? He had like 100 and some, literally over 100 points as a defenseman, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, and he did with San Jose, but he was the only thing they had out there. So he was on the ice an awful long time. Points were piling up. He's a good offensive player. The problem is his defensive deficiencies really become a problem. If you count on him to be out there for 25 minutes a game.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping for the best. Huge Penguin fan. Always. I just hoping for the best. Hopefully they can turn it around ASAP. That goes without saying. But it's going to take a while. It's just I just hope they can turn it around sometime.
Yeah, me too. I want to see playoff hockey. This will be 3 years in a row without it, Jeff. So
yeah, absolutely.
I look forward to April, May. That, you know, that takes up my time with following hockey, and I want them to be involved in it. I don't think there's any question. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Anthony in Oakland, who I did not meet the other night at the Fan 15. I was in and out of there, but I heard, Anthony, you were there.
Paul, oh my goodness gracious. You did meet me, Bob.
Where did I meet you?
You were standing, talking to the Ohio State fan, and there was a young lady there, and I was the black guy standing right next to you.
You didn't recognize. No, I did. I don't. No, I was. The problem was when you start talking to a lot of people. I'm trying to focus the attention on whatever conversation I was having. So I wanted to talk to you. You should have hung around and dragged me over or whatever. I would love to have talked to you about what you
We shook hands and everything, but you just didn't recognize me from the radio station. Yeah, I thought you had comprehended, and I saw you were busy, so I didn't want to interfere with what you...
We'll have to do that again sometime. I'd love to chat with you.
Oh, we will. Anytime, Bob. Hey, Bob, listen. I'm disappointed with the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization, period. Not just the Mike Tomlin half. But I mean, how many times are they going to fail these surveys from the NFL Players Association? I mean, for goodness sakes, give the facility to Pitt. Let them have it all. You should have made arrangements to move to Cranberry if you're landlocked in Pittsburgh or Wexford. Or I mean, what are they doing over there? They're running it like it's a Hooterville.
Well, I would like to know more details about who takes those surveys, because sometimes it's players who come and go, and you know, they see other teams. And listen, I agree. I think upgrades are necessary. I think they know that. In fact, I think there's some planning going on for that, Anthony. Whether or not that means they're going to have their own individual place or a specific place for Pitt or together again. But clearly the time has come for that to happen. But I also think players get very spoiled here. You know, not just here, but when I say here, I mean in sports today, where they see all the the gadgets and gizmos, and they want them all. And if they don't get them, they perceive that as not being taken care of. They even gave the food a bad grade there. I've been over there. I've tasted it. Those guys do a wonderful job. I don't know what their expectations are. If you want 5-star Michelin chefs, then go out to Bellagio. You know, you're not going to get it at a facility, but you are going to get, you know, people who take care of your diets and your nutrition. So I when I saw that grade, I said, this stuff, you know, come on. The facilities, no question, I think have to be upgraded, and I think they know that.
Yeah, I mean, but look, go adventures with one of these gambling sites. Go, you know, they're doing it all over the country.
Well, they already have a deal with BetMGM, I think.
Well,
I think it's a sponsorship deal. I don't know, but you can make it bigger if you want, sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is just now getting back to the player part. Look, Bob, you've been following this team as long as I have. And we know when something's not working anymore. And the philosophy of Mike Tomlin is not working in today's NFL. It was similar to what happened with Chuck Noll at the end, where Dan had to finally go in and say, Chuck, it's not working anymore. Remember, he started with his assistants, and then Chuck got fed up after firing too many assistants, then he just finally retired. But you can't. This is unacceptable, Bob. You're losing, and the expertise is supposed to be defense. But the last 5 playoff games, you've given up 40, almost 40 in the last one. You gave up 28, right, and you weren't even in that game.
No, that's undeniable. I mean, how long are we gonna those games it? In the playoffs are significant there. It's one thing to get there, but when you get there, you got to do more than they've done. However, Anthony, as you know as well as I do, they've given him a 3-year extension. So, I mean, we're going to talk about this. I hope they make adjustments. What I hope moving on into this year, and I haven't seen any so far, but I want to see some adjustments to how they think offensively specifically and also defensively. You mentioned defensively. I thought one of the things we didn't see enough of was blitzing. I thought that was a key component, and when they've had success, to do it from areas you'd never see. And I thought it was pretty much not the case. It was more of a zone, cover first kind of mentality. But when you don't get pressure, and if you don't get it, you're gonna let any good quarterback beat you down the field, or he can slice and dice you underneath. He can go along and do a lot of things. I want to see Minka Fitzpatrick more involved and kind of figure out ways to get him involved other than being a cover guy in the back.
Well, look, follow the Philadelphia script. Build up that defensive line. I mean, they rotate them studs in there, and I mean, then that's how you be. If your objective, like it used to be for those teams when the Steelers were great, to beat the Steelers. If your objective is to beat Kansas City, the model has been shown from Tampa, and when they beat them in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles, your four defensive linemen is all the pressure you need.
But if you don't have them, and they don't have that right now, that's got to be, and that's why I think their first round pick will be a defensive line player.
It has to be first and second. You have to follow what the Rams did when they lost Aaron Donald. They went out and got two big studs, and they didn't miss a beat last year. And they were the closest team to almost beat the Eagles. So, and please, no Russell Wilson. I mean, how could anybody sit there and watch that 5-game losing streak and know that he doesn't throw over the middle? No, they took the moon ball away, and he looked like an average guy that just got off a bus.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be Justin Fields if they're going to choose between those two, and then figure it out as they go. But I would agree with that. So, Anthony,
thanks,
you, man.
Bob.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. And maybe one day we'll do a lunch or something. I think I'd love to do that and get to talk to you even more, because I know you have very good thoughts about a lot of things in Pittsburgh sports. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So if you're looking at mock drafts, I look at these things mostly to just shake my head, I think. All these guys are very good at what they're doing and trying to analyze. But every day there's a new mock draft. So someone who picked Jackson Dart on one day at 21 for the Steelers will move off of that the next day. It's a game. People love to hear these kinds of things and then get outraged at what you see. I don't think, in fact, I know, the Steelers will not take a quarterback in the first round. I would be totally stunned. Joel, would you be stunned if they took a quarterback in the first round?
I would be stunned as well. Only if there's someone who is up high on their board and people didn't see that coming or whatever. But otherwise, I would be pretty stunned especially since there are a lot of really good defensive linemen, and the Steelers could really use another wide receiver.
Yeah, they need both of those things. And you can even put cornerback in there depth-wise and somebody who can come in. So those are all ahead of a quarterback for now. And I say that knowing that they have none of their quarterbacks signed. So it is a very different kind of time. You got kind of spoiled knowing you had the same guy in there, number seven, every single year. This time it's a little different now, 3 years in a row, where you have uncertainty at the most important position. Even though I just said that, I wouldn't reach. And I think, you know, Jackson Dart's a talented kid. Will Howard's a talented kid. You can go on. Jalen Milroe's a talented kid. Kyle McCorr, I'd like him out of Syracuse. He transferred there, and he was really good for them. There are a lot of guys who are talented. But can they take it to the next level? Until you know that, you know, you got to be absolutely sure. And maybe they're sure. Maybe there's somebody out there that really they believe can be that guy. I would be stunned at this year. But we'll see how it goes. But I would also expect we're in March 1st, on March the 10th, before this tampering thing starts. They better make sure they get somebody signed here, because you can run the risk if you don't want Russell Wilson and you do want Justin Fields, but you can't come to a deal before he becomes a free agent. It would be in his best interest to check all of that. I think for anyone who's knocking on that door, why not? You have an opportunity to gauge what the NFL thinks of you. Last year, they did not think much of Justin Fields because he was available for a sixth-round pick. This year, that may be different based on six games started here in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. We will come back with more calls. Just getting started here on hour number two up until 1 o'clock, and that's when we join the Pirates. Paul Skeens on the mound. I'll be anxious to see him, and he's going to be tremendous. I don't have any doubt about that. I think their pitching staff is going to be really good. They better get figure out a way to get more bats in here. It's kind of late in the proceedings to do that, but they got to figure out something at some point. They've ignored this entire offseason when it comes to legitimate bats. They got to figure out a way because they could waste a lot of good pitching, and I hope that's not the case this year. 412-928-9370 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back on a snowy March 1st in Pittsburgh. New month already here. That means March. That means madness. That means tournaments will begin in a couple of weeks. Conference tournament. Pitt has some business to do as they have fallen 4-10 in their last 14 games since early January. And so they've fallen out of this thing. And unless they do something drastic here, they're going to be out of it. They take on number 19, Louisville. That's tonight at 6 p.m. at the Yum Center. How about the Cardinals? 16-1 in their last 17. They're 22-6 overall. This after going 8-24 last year. Now think about that, 8-24, and now they're 22-6. They brought in Pat Kelsey after they fired their coach. He's from Charleston. Everyone on that roster pretty much left when they fired the coach, which is typical of today's college game. And so what he had to do is go and restock it. So he brought in a whole bunch of transfers, a couple from Charleston, where he was. And all of a sudden, with a whole new team, boom, here they are, 22-6. That bodes well for anyone who thinks that Pitt can change things around in a hurry. You're going to have to be very successful in the transfer portal. Not so much in the high school recruiting, although you'd like to get those guys, but given how quickly they may leave you, I don't know if it's worth the time anymore. 412-928-9370. Want to give a couple of NBA notes. Joel, I know you're a big NBA fan. You saw Steph Curry the other night go off for 56, but he hit 12 of 19 threes. The man is unbelievable. It doesn't take much for him to create a shot himself or get one, and how quick the release is.
When he's on one, he's on one. When he's hot, and it is the Orlando Magic caught him on a pretty bad day, which was also the 9th anniversary of the Mike Breen bang bang call from when Curry beat OKC.
That was the first double banger going on for
That's
Mike
right.
Breen. That's right.
First of many.
And he was excited, and he's so fun to watch. And they have Jimmy Butler, makes them a better team. But last night I was watching the Cavaliers take on Boston. I was very interested in that game because Boston, defending champs, still very good, built up a big 25-3 lead. And then Cleveland chipped away. They still were down 17 in the third quarter, came back and won that game. Cleveland Cavaliers are legit, and they made a great trade here recently to pick up Hunter to add to their – you know, they have some really good players on that team. Two of the best guards going with Mitchell and Garland. I think they can win it all. OKC and Cleveland seem to be the two teams that you would pick. And who would have thought that a few years ago?
You know? Isn't that something? I picked Cleveland to win the East this year at the start of the season, and it's looking great.
I hope you bet on it.
I should have.
You should have.
Because I felt pretty good about it, and right now they're probably, 7.5 games ahead of Boston now. after last night's win.
I think it's important for them to know that they can go in there and win and beat them. I think they split their season series at two apiece now, but
yes,
they need to prove that they can handle them. It's one thing to say you're a great team. It's another thing to say you can beat the defending champs. And so far, they've shown that they can certainly keep up with them. So they're 49-10. If you want to see good basketball, go up to the Quicken Loans Arena. It's a short drive if you can get tickets. Fun night. 412-928-9370. Andy is in McKeesport, and he joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Bob. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I don't quite understand the NFL poll that went out. Mike Tomlin was rated an A, and then just about everything else was D or F. And my thoughts on this are that the characteristics of a good leader are that they secure the objective and then look out for the welfare of the troops. And I'm looking at the objective in NFL football, I would think, is at least to make it to the playoffs and then make sure that your troops are taken care of. Now, I don't see how troops that haven't been taken care of and a leader that hasn't secured the objective don't mesh. I just don't understand. Well, first of all, that report card
is just a bunch of players who, if they have a complaint about something, they're going to put it down. These players want to be coddled today, in my view, in a lot of different ways. They want all the best stuff in there. And fine, okay, give them what they need. They have to do it to compete with other things. But, you know, if you look at some of the ratings, again, I keep going to the food part of it. I know that they need upgrades over there, and that's what. And thank you for the call, Andy. This is how this works. You're going to get upgrades. But to criticize the food the way they did, I'm sorry. You're talking about being spoiled. That's what those players who responded that way to me would be. They're given everything they can get over there, anything they want to eat. They take food with them all the time. They have it prepared specially for them. Please, give me a break with these report cards sometimes. These players, I don't really care. Just go out and win. Ryan in New Jersey joins us right now. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Bob. I just still want to recognize, it might be the last time we see it, but Malkin had himself a night the other day, and it was good to see. That being said, I want them to lose every game for the rest of the year, trade everybody. So
wait a minute. Wait. So March 7th, when you say trade everybody, you're not going to be able to trade certain people.
If you can trade, if you can get Russ to waive and trade him. If you can get Raquel, if you can trade Raquel, trade him. If you can trade anybody, well, it gets pretty thin after that. So move the assets you can move and get whatever you can. They're not close. I actually think, and I've called you, I don't know, for how many years saying Jari is worthless. I think they should send Ned down and play Jari. I really do. Because at this point, what the hell does it matter? You might as well play him. I mean, what are you going to do? Lose games? They're already doing that. So what's the worst that can happen? Because they're going to probably have to buy him up, and maybe he gets hot. Maybe you deal him. Maybe you eat some salary and deal him.
You think he can rejuvenate his career to the point where he can get back to that level?
I think if you trade him for 25 cents on the dollar, you might be able to do it. But that's better than eating whatever it is, 5.6 million over the next, it would be, 6 years. Spaced out, whatever it works out to be, 50% over twice the remaining contract, which would be like 3 years, I think is how it works on a buyout.
All right, what about Carlson? What would you do with him?
Carlson, they can't retain because they're retaining three guys, so they would have to have a team like the Coyotes used to do, retain salary for them to move him. They can't do that. Who wants to eat salary as a third party for Carlson? Because then they would have to trade picks to get them to retain. So where are you at? You're back. They have to wait until July 1st. Then they can move Carlson because then their three retentions fall off. So, I mean, they're going to have to retain $3, $4, or $5 million, however much it is.
Well, that's better than $11 million. I'll do that.
It is for 2 years. They may keep them. I don't know. They're not in a good spot. I mean, the unfortunate part is I hear people calling all the time and saying, like, well, you know, trade Malkin and build around Crosby. The Crosby era is over because it takes too long to do an NHL rebuild. I know the Caps did it. Very weird circumstances. You're not going to replicate that. There are two things that happened in hockey in the last 10 years that are weird. Vegas getting them stacking the expansion draft for them, which they stopped immediately after because the Kraken didn't get it.
Yep.
And the Caps doing this, getting Oshie and Backstrom to retire and have their salaries wiped. That is not that is not going to happen. Like,
no, but they were smart to take advantage of it. They were smart, and they also made a good trade for their goal. They had goaltending issues. What do? They made a shrewd trade, a guy who was being kind of blocked over there in Vegas, and they gave up a couple, I think it was a couple of third-round picks to get him. So that was foresight right there. You know, that's the kind of deal that they have just completely championed.
GM of the year. The guy did a fantastic job. They brought up the young coach. A ton of the problems. A guy called earlier and asked why Rutherford quit, and I'm thinking, like, well, I think it was clear at the time they picked Sullivan over Rutherford. They picked the coach's desires. Gee, if this sounds familiar in Pittsburgh, you know, I'm crazy. They picked the coach's wants over the team's wants, and I think that's why Rutherford walked. I don't think they were going to give him an extension. And that's – I think that was it. But, you know, a lot of the problems go back to Sullivan. I know he's coming off the high with the wave the flag, the, you know, the Four Nations and all that. But, you know, the speed game, the puck-moving defensemen, they don't have them. They don't have it. So you're just beating your head off the wall, the same as the run-first 13-12 only defense coach, which is completely out of date across town. It's bad. I listen to you guys all week, and you, Joe, you touch on things, you know, about the state of the franchise. And you said Wednesday, I think it was Thursday. I'm more optimistic about the Steelers than the other two. Boy,
respect to getting to the playoffs.
That's an ugly contest there because they're all in terrible shape.
A good time in Pittsburgh sports. I don't think there's any question about that. But it's kind of the cyclical nature of sports, and I realize that you try to avoid that at all times, and everyone has an answer, but that's the way it goes sometimes. But I don't know how the Penguins are going to get themselves back in that position quickly. I think it's really difficult to do.
It's going to have to be an entirely new era, which means you're going to roll the GM, you're going to roll the coach. I just don't think they're 2 years away, and I think a lot of people are assuming as long as you got Sid, he's great. He might play another 5 years. He's an all-timer. That's not a team. That's not a winning team. That they had the most impressive team, I think, of their entire tenure, and that's including 90. I'm old enough, you know, to be alive and conscious and at the games for 91, 92, 93. They had the best team ever, in my mind, in 2016. The other team never touched the puck. That's where the myth of Beth Murray came from.
Terrific.
They never touched the puck. You know?
No, like, and I remember that Game 5 in Pittsburgh. They should have won the cup on home ice, and the only reason they didn't was because of Martin Jones. Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, one thing, but thanks for the call. I appreciate your time, as always, Bob. At the top of the show, you were talking about the Pirates bringing in a hitter, but I missed it because I was cleaning out my attic. Were you talking about Vlad Guerrero?
I did that last week, and that's what I know it's kind of crazy. What?
He's going to Boston. Boston's in a position where they have a very highly rated farm system. They have a bunch of prospects, even though they traded a few to get Garrett Crochet. Guerrero has expressed his interest because his dad loved Boston. And his dad already played in L.A. for years and didn't really win anything.
Okay, but if it's not him, my point is they can afford a $25 million a year player or a $40 million a year player.
Absolutely.
And that's why I say it's almost like, it's oh, my God, that's sacrimonious. You can't bring this up. You know, it's ridiculous. So, anyway, I got to go. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it, Ryan. I hope you have a lot of luck with your closet or attic, whatever it was you were cleaning out. Let's go to Neil and Butler. Neil joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I just want to talk about the Pirates. Jason Mack had a thing the other night where rated the three sports teams, which one is best shape, which one isn't. They're all about the same right now. But if you think about some of the true trades that have been made, Ben Cherington has done nothing. Luis Ortiz might be the only guy that he got in here that was an international player that he developed. I don't see one on the horizon. Like the Pedersen trade with the Penguins, they didn't give up much for him. You look back with A.J. Burnett, Francisco Liriano. I mean, find a way. And to give up three players, two pitchers that are in the top 15, and Luis Ortiz for Spencer Horowitz, that's a joke. You look back at his time in Boston when he got rid of Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett. He got basically Troy Loney back. James Longyear, sorry. It's just, I think they can do better. Especially the Pirates right now.
Well, I'm curious. What did Jason say? Which team is in better footing right now? Which did he say?
I forget how he rated them. I think he said the Penguins were, believe it or not. I don't want to speak 100% for him. He was basically trying to get people. I got on maybe 6:15.
Yeah, that was no. And yeah, I think that's a good topic, which one is closer, because I do think that they're all kind of dealing with their own situations. But is, when it comes to Penguins, you need a farm system. You have to have players down there. They're trying to replenish that, but that is not an overnight kind of situation. That's why I think it's going to be difficult, unless they have money to spend, unless they create more cap money to spend, and that means moving on from some of these players who have $5 and $6 million contracts. If they can't do that, I don't know how they can immediately, even if you get a lottery pick this year, I don't think this year has a generational type of player. You could have a good player, but that player could be 3 years away from playing here.
Oh, yeah, they got how many first-round picks in the next 3 years, or how many picks in the top three rounds?
Yeah, they have 15 in the top three, but right. Even top three, how many third-round right. guys make it in the NHL, and how long does it take for them to get here?
Well, a long time. You got to be shrewd, and that's where, you know, we'll have to see about Dubas. You know, some of the moves he's made so far have been questionable.
Yeah.
Ben Carrington, right. Same thing. And Mike Tomlin, it's like they just want to live for, you know, play middle, draft middle, stay middle.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Guy in California. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, you know, as far as the Penguins go, you know, supposedly with all their talent, the Penguins are this offensive juggernaut. But there's some real culture problems with this team. I mean, you know, look at the number of third-period collapses this team has had. And then you look at the number of losses, three or more goals. I calculated 19 times this season. That's the fifth worst in the league. Only teams like San Jose and Chicago, the Kraken and Nashville are worse. And then, you know, obviously you can blame the goalie and the goalie situation with the save percentage. And the save percentage is like 881, and the league average is 893. But which just brings me to the final point that, you know, when you look at you look at hockey as it is now, you look at guys like Ovechkin, he somehow has managed to thrive in this new era of hockey. I mean, just real quick, you know, he's only, a dozen goals away from Gretzky's record.
Yeah, and you could do it here in Pittsburgh at the final game of the year. Who knows? Guy, I'm up against the break, so thank you for the call. I appreciate it. But your point being there, but they redid their team, and they were very fortunate. They had a couple of guys who got rid of their contracts as a retirement and didn't count against their cap. They went out and, you know, they have some young kids. They went out and made some shrewd moves. I mean, it's a shrewd trade, and here they are, one of the best teams with a young coach. So it can be done. That's a meteoric kind of rise from where they were, I thought, but pretty good job by the Washington Capitals. We got to take a break. Cousin Eddie, hang on. You'll be first up when we come back. 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on a Saturday in March. Another month has come as February goes away. So quickly it happens. We'll be back with more right after this. Running out of time here. Joel Nelson behind the glass. Bob Pompeiani here until 1 o'clock. We have Pirate Baseball coming up. Right now we're going back to the fan hotline. Cousin Eddie joins us right now. Hello, cousin.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
What's up?
So, all right. I'm going to talk Flacco's, right? I'm a 70s guy, so I grew up in the 70s. The ups, the downs, and everything. So the 70s Pirates had the hitting and the pitching, right?
Yep.
The hitting machine, whatever they were called. They were the hitting machine. But now this guy, Derek Shelton, has all these great pitchers on his team right now. We need one more good hitter to put us over the top.
I would suggest two.
Well, maybe two, but I think Derek Shelton has never been on the hot seat because they never had a good team. This is the year he needs to manage, because I believe this team can make it as a wild card. Let me know what you think.
Thanks, cousin. Eddie, appreciate that. I think they can if they get timely hitting. They're not going to get consistently good power hitting, especially. But if they get timely hitting, because I suspect with this pitching staff that they should be in most games. And if you're in most games, then it's going to take a key hit along the way. Do they have that in their system? I don't know. Who among them? Is it Cruz? Is it Reynolds? Andrew McCutchen? I mean, it's the same group of guys we've been talking about. They haven't really upgraded there offensively at all. That's what's going to be the difference. And if they do not make it to the wild, I think they should. I think realistically their goal should be to be in the playoffs. I think people who observe the Pirates should believe that. It's too long. It's year six of this whole stuff. You got to do it at somewhere. They did nothing in the offseason. Makes me think they're going to be able to close that gap. However, I wish they did. Are there more options out there? Maybe. We'll see. Bob in Springdale joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Hey, I was reading something the other day about Rick Pitino. He wants to combine the ACC and the Big East in basketball. What do you think?
I wouldn't be against that. First of all, I think he's done a heck of a job at St. John's this year. I mean, he has come in there, and with the help of the transfer portal, he has just gone out and turned them into a contending team, not just in the Big East, but I'm talking about national contender for a championship. So, yeah, right. You know, there are too many. I think the conferences have to be pared down. There are going to be more of it. We've seen it already. How many of these football conferences have how many teams in it? 22, 18? So
yeah, exactly.
The way it's changed, I would not be surprised me if they figure out a way to consolidate and bring teams or conferences together to get the best out of them.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Bob. Rick Pitino, boy, he's made a big comeback. You know, this is a guy who was at one point was, you know, all the scandals about what was going on in his own personal life, and he can coach. I don't think there's any question he can coach. And his son will probably be the successor there at St. John's whenever that happens, but – watch out for them. They're a legitimate team. They got some good guards. They got some big play inside. And that's what Pitt is missing, quite frankly. They're missing consistent play inside. They don't have big guys enough to deal with what some of these other teams in the ACC have. And they're going to find out a tough opponent today, and that would be Louisville coming up 16-1 in their last 17. They're 22-6 overall after going 8-24 last year. Pat Kelsey should be a college coach of the year this year. What he's done at Louisville, given where they were, given where they are. So, you know, bottom line there is I think Pitt's going to have a hard time today. They're heavy underdogs in this game. Next week they're going to have to win a couple before they go to the ACC tournament, and I suspect they're going to have to win the whole thing. We'll see if that's even possible. But they got some work to do in this offseason, there's no question. And, you know, Jeff Capel has a deal that runs all the way through 2030. So the only way out of there, and same with Pat Narduzzi, is if you're interested in making a buyout, if you want to make a change. And they have a new AAD, will he be – is Alan Green capable of coming in saying, I want to make a change and I need to get the money to do it? That's a hard thing to do when you're new on the job and you're trying to fundraise for other projects, Olympic sports, Victory Heights, trying to come up with NIL money. I don't know, Joel, if I would want that job these days, you know? That's a hard – it's almost like you got to do much more than, the, you know, 20 years ago an athletic director was responsible for.
I would say so. It's so much different. So much different.
And it's all about fundraising more than anything else. You got to be connected. 412-928-9370, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to all of you who called. Those of you who did not get through, I apologize. Try again. And I'll be on most Saturdays from time to time until I find that it's just too much of a commitment during some weekdays as well. But I always enjoy the give and take. And thank you for calling and making it all possible. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks to our sponsors once again, PNC Bank, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Nine Yards Golf Lounge for Joel Nelson. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a great day. We got Pirate Baseball coming up next. Paul Skeens on the mound against the Baltimore Orioles right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.